This is the Venerable Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, seminar entitled The Bodhicharya Vitara, held at Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado. This is talk number 3, June 19th, 1980. This is an ARP digital remaster made January 2008.
This would be the Vajracharya, the Venerable Shogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, June 19th, 1980 at Naropa Institute. This is the third class on the Buddha.
Good evening. As a follow-up of the previous talk, we are going to discuss further the principle of Mahayana Buddhism and the general approach to how and why we should realize such way is the best of all. As been discussed in the previous talk, and also understanding that we discussed already the notion of theism and non-theism altogether of my first talk, keeping those in the mind that we could discuss the notion of a basic human problem. That particular basic human problem is not necessarily connected with purely the Buddhist ideals alone. It is quite universal that we have problems with the society and the relationships, economic, diplomacy, and everyone areas. All of those problems always exist there. To begin with, the basic problem exists as usually without foundation or starting point, whatever you like to call them, without foundation, meaning that we are overwhelmed by the complexities of society or our own problems and the realities that we're trying to sort out or handle in our everyday life situation. That we constantly see the product of our actions. In a very straightforward way, in such a way that that your bills are due. You didn't pay them. And somebody's threatening you because of that. Or that you haven't made perfect relationship with your friend or friends, and they are demanding kill or cure friendship. Feedback from parents, relatives. Constantly we've experienced numerous end products of that nature all the time. And sometimes, with the wrong reason, a lot of people trying to become monks or nuns because of that. That you would declare bankruptcy or else burn your checkbooks and join a monastery, which still can be done in this part of the world, but obviously you cannot do that in the beyond the Iron Curtain. The Bodhisattva ideal, as said by Shantideva in his instruction, is to energize oneself. Either you are traveler or you will be traveler, journeyer. That is to say, we tend to get some sense of excitement when we begin to travel on a journey. The packing of preparation and the booking of your whatever, train or airplane tickets or whatever, and arriving into another country, going to another area. Similarly, that bodhisattva idea here is that you are moving on. You are not stuck with all those situations, particular problems, as such, personally, at all. Journeyer or would-be journeyer situation. That is to say that we do not neglect our personal responsibilities, and we don't throw them away, reject them, by saying that I have a greater commitment than taking care of my sick mother, that I have to really go to retreat and I can't take care of you anymore. Or for that fact, I could say that your telephone payment is overdue because I was in the retreat. But we have to stick to reality fully properly. And we can't use religion or that kind of discipline as a way to try to avoid our responsibilities. And that is the essential Mahayana teaching at all, is not trying to avoid personal responsibilities in relating with the world altogether, proper and fully. There are ways to do so. Is usually why we do avoid such thing is because we feel that we don't care for situations like that. For the very fact we don't care for if the telephone company is not being paid, that they are running out of their business. We couldn't care less. Or our mother is dying. We are more concerned with some cases. We are not making a blanket statement there, but some cases that it is more hassle to see the mother who is in a bad shape. That we are more concerned about her, that she might hassle us because she is in bad shape. Therefore, we would like to try to avoid that and by using the name of religion or anything else. So we are fundamentally not being responsible from that point of view. And there is a way to avoid that. And very ordinary in the middle medieval approach we are talking about here tonight of the bodhisattva ideal. But still, I think it's up to date, nonetheless. It's being a medieval idea. The main point of helping others is generating some sense of sympathy and relaxation within oneself altogether. And that has been saying, raising that you as individuals have possibility and a potentiality in your existence as capable of falling in love to yourself and others, basically speaking. So that is a very fundamental thing that some people feel that they are impotent, that they can actually feel friendly to anybody at all, but that's not true. According to the Buddhist tradition and also according to our expectation, experience that we have done and worked for 2,500 years of dealing with the human beings throughout the world, that we begin to find out that human beings are always capable of expressing their affection, love, either to oneself or else to others. They are always capable. That's basic nature. As long as their blood is red, they are capable of feeling affection and love to others. Out of that, that particular possibility, that particular potentiality, and not only potentiality alone, but that particular reality that we call that particular principle is bodhicitta, which is a Sanskrit word which literally means the heart of enlightenment is in everyone. As long as you can shed tears when you're crying, or as long as you can manifest red blood when you get wounded, and everybody's is possible. They do have the enlightened heart in them, without any doubt, none whatsoever. This research has been much longer than research of atomic bombs. And this research has been done for 2,500 years and still being researched all the time. And we come to the conclusion that it is so. That you can do so. You have it, whether you like it or not. Sometimes you wish you would like to take a rest and wish that there's no such demand. You could just fade out in the back and just read newspaper and drink beer, put your legs up on the table and fade out and get old and die and push up the daisies. Frankly speaking, we have no such luxury here. We are too much in an emergency situation all the time, either to ourselves or to others. Always there is an emergency situation taking place. So we can't actually relax, and we can't hope for that we will be taking a giant break. We don't have to work hard anymore. That's what actually boils down to, is that the Mahayana idea is that working hard, drilling into our jobs, and doing our duties on the spot. That's the Mahayana Buddhism. With that particular understanding, that the notion that you can produce tears from your eyes and you have a red blood in your systems, and that particular principle is known as bodhicitta. There are two levels of bodhicitta. How to actually recognize that, which are twofold situation, what's called the absolute and the relative bodhicitta, could be raised in our system altogether. The what's known as the relative bodhicitta could be raised by individuals as be described as Shantideva by Shantideva. That is to say, first of all, pick a person in your life who you love. And traditionally, what's be described or recommended is one's mother. Obviously, that in the 20th century, people have a different relationship with their mothers. But nonetheless, we can go this point as the medieval approach. Is traditionally any groups, any people throughout the whole world in the medieval times, they always loved their mother. And your mother gave birth to you, and your mother fed you from her own body, and your mother cleaned you up. Even those days, they don't have any diapers, but still, they manage to keep you clean. And your mother actually taught you how to walk, how to move, how to have exercises, how to talk. And your mother has kept you warm or kept you cool. And she has become the best servant of you, always. She served you not from purely duty or metaphysical point of view, but she actually felt that the reason why she had served you is because she loved you a lot. She didn't mind if you wake up in the middle of the night when she's too tired. And if you cried, she gets up and she feeds you, she attends you, always. That is the starting point of how we could feel kind to ourselves, who actually, if we identify with our mother, would we do that to somebody else? Not only that, but if a mother has another person, which is you, as a child, would we do that to somebody else? So that kind of a fundamental, even animalistic, or purely instinctive level, that not only human mothers have done and took care of their child, but the most vicious animal, like crocodiles and tigers or snakes, also took care of their mother with their utmost gentility and the kindness. They always do that. So realizing that even the most vicious and aggressive temperamental situations, that such beings were able to share their gentleness and their appropriateness, their kindness to their child, which is a mark of that you have relative bodhicitta in everywhere, basically. And it is not regarded as a neurosis, and some of the Jewish people might regard it as a Jewish mother problem of over-hospitality, but that comes much later, in fact. The relative bodhicitta is therefore that whole entire sentient beings are capable of generating sympathy and tenderness to somebody. You don't just give birth and eat them up by aggression, but you have some sensibility, some reasonability, which is fantastic and wonderful that does exist at all, which is the basis of our logic of that we could develop, and there is such as bodhicitta exist in us at all, altogether, which is called a relative bodhicitta. Realizing that, then we can use that particular model, our mother, and we can actually generate that to others at the same time. And we can constantly generate to others. And basically, that whole logic comes from realization that we ourselves are not in disharmony with ourselves, that we have affection and we express kindness to ourselves at the same time, which is the Maitri principle situation, which you have heard of the previous talk, I think. And then what's known as the absolute bodhicitta, the fundamental one, is that because of such affection and such tenderness exists in ourselves, that we can be helpful to ourselves and to others. Then we begin to also relate with the nature of our mind without discursive thoughts. A mind without discursive thoughts, mind without covering between that and this, there is a general sense of stableness, a general sense of peace, which comes naturally, automatically. That is known as the relative absolute bodhicitta at this point. The reason why that is happening is because when we feel friendly, tender to ourselves or the other, we begin to feel that there is a resting point, that we don't have to actually labor too much over our anxiety, anxiousness, and we don't have to do things to please others. by cranking up unnecessarily. And we begin to find there is a moment of relaxation somewhere when we begin to feel in love with somebody. There is a moment of relaxation at the same time. There could be, that logic could be used as when we are in love with our partners, our friends. Sometimes that love affair could be anxiety oriented by saying that, does he or she love me? Or does he or she acknowledge my love, affection to him or her? But beyond that, when you are actually in love properly, when you are in love, fully in love with somebody thoroughly, and there is an intoxication possibility, that you begin to feel that you are in a state of harmony, which is a non-thought level, in fact. And there is a possibility of experiencing a basic goodness, that you feel open and good and soothing being with that particular person, and therefore you feel basically good. And according to the traditional of absolute bodhicitta principle, that is known as that person is experiencing the basic alaya of the basic goodness, fundamental goodness, without aggression or even passion or even ignorance. So the reality of bodhicitta can be manifested properly, fully, at that point. The basic point here tonight is that realizing, understanding, experiencing that we are a capable person who can actually manifest love. And not only that, but we can actually effectively manifest our love to others, to be service of others. And also we experience that because we are capable of manifesting love, therefore we can actually remain in an equilibrium state, that love is not either to the that or this, that we have equilibrium, steadiness of basic sanity level, basic goodness level of love, which is a practice of relating with that. Nonetheless, the actual experience or the logic that, basically speaking, that we do have those facilities in ourselves, which has been the product of research, as we talked about already, of 2,500 years, that we are capable of doing so. And if you think you are not, you are wrong, I'm afraid. If you'd like to have any discussions, you're more than welcome. Gentlemen there?
Rinpoche, you're talking about the monastic tradition. And I was just wondering why exactly you don't feel this is appropriate to us. Is it because we're Westerners, or is it because it's too much of an emergency situation?
I beg your pardon?
Is it because you don't recommend the monastic situation for us? Is that because that we're just Westerners, or is it because we're in an emergency situation, or both, or what?
Monastic situation, we didn't discuss about that, did we?
You brought it up in, you were talking about it would be almost an escape from responsibility.
I see. Well, I think the monastic tradition of the Buddhist tradition is not run away from the world. And that shouldn't be, in any case, everywhere at all. Maybe some other cases of monastic tradition, such as like Catholicism, might have used that particular possibilities, that when the old man couldn't find a lover, that why not join the monastery? And when the young lady couldn't have an orgasm, why not join the nunnery?
Thank you.
Back in the gentleman over there? Yes.
In the spirit of the Mahayana of not avoiding situations, I'm also thinking about being kind to yourself.
Hmm?
In the spirit of the Mahayana of not avoiding situations.
Yes, be kind to yourself. Yes, yes.
And I'm also thinking about being kind to yourself.
See, see.
Well, sometimes I think the best way you can to be kind to yourself is to avoid certain situations that you can't handle.
Well, that's called chickening out. You don't want to work harder. You just want to avoid the situation altogether, which is different than dedication. There is a possibility, though, of not making nuisance of others, but that's not quite the same.
Of what?
Making nuisance. Mm-hmm. Become a nuisance of others. But that's something else.
Mm. But basically, it's try again.
One always have to put a lot of energy and effort. Obviously, you don't want to work that hard. And sometimes generating affection to others is a laboring situation. But one mustn't regard that as a big problem. But one should try to push and try to give a rise to bodhicitta, which you obviously have a labor pains involved. But once you're given the birth, you probably feel double the better. You feel absolutely good, and you feel that you have done something worthwhile, you have contributed to the rest of the world, that you actually have done something decent and good. You probably will rejoice further, and you will energize more so.
Okay, thank you.
It seems that you've been emphasizing tonight the Mahayana, and it occurred to me that it seems that without the discipline and practice of Hinayana, without some experience in waking up, that this could all get very sloppy and ill-defined.
Yes, absolutely right. It is necessary to have a training of the mind at an early level of even coordination of your mind and body, and having good practice of shamatha discipline and things like that are becoming very important, absolutely necessary. We are talking about ideal practice. Having had already that background already and have gone through using the modern language, a lot of nintens and a lot of datins, and having had a trainings like that throughout the whole thing, and then we begin to realize what means without a territory altogether. So if you sit with a group of students for a whole month and 24 hours practice, we begin to realize that we don't actually have to hold our territory. And realizing that, experiencing that, then we are also capabilities of loving ourselves and loving others, which comes as a progress process. That way, you're right.
Thank you.
I'm wondering about the sense of responsibility that we have to other people, and knowing the difference between sitting and working with our own anger or whatever comes up in a particularly demanding situation, perhaps in my situation with old people, and how that fuzzy line of working with your own stuff relates with a sense of duty of speaking up and perhaps cutting through it. It seems real difficult for me.
Yes. Well, I think it's very simple, actually. Supposing if you wait for the ideal person to work with others, and 100% or 200%, there will be nobody at all. But what we're trying to do here is that a person with the potential in working with others, put together with the other person also working well with this one as well at the same time. So therefore, you have a 200% coming from that end, 200% from this end. So 100% coming from that end, 100% coming from this end. So which makes a mutual 200% possibilities. You see the logic?
Is that the assumption that their 100% potential is there, even if they're somewhat old and senile?
Sure. And also yourself as a 100% as well. So you have a mutual agreement, working together situation taking place at that point. And then you don't drop once you have the understanding, once we clicked with that particular principle, you don't let go of that. But you keep on pursuing beyond and beyond and beyond. And so then it becomes a real working basis. I'm afraid it is very hard at the beginning, but it will be smooth as we go on. But it wouldn't be ideal as smooth as you want. And there's no ideal world as we know, basically speaking, at all. So one has to realize that somebody has to sacrifice something or other, always. One has to give in, either somebody give in or you give in. That is the difference between skillful means. That sometimes that your partner should give in, and sometimes you should give in. And beyond somebody has given altogether, then also how much mileage you will take out of that is also questionable, but one shouldn't be to readily take that advantage altogether. But there is some natural process in which that we begin to have some understanding. Make sure that altogether that we are not capitalizing on ego. That seems to be the basic point, or aggression, or profit of any kind.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you need a good sleep tonight at this point, and we could close our class, so to speak, here tonight. I would also like to, if you don't mind, with your permission, that reiterate that what's been said before the talk of raising fund for new and fresh location. It could be seen as sometimes that could be seen as a purely luxury item. Once you have the cigarettes, then you're looking for the chocolate. But on the other hand, it is very important for us that we can create and we can make all of you comfortable in our own ground. Not only that, but we could actually establish a firm foundation and a commitment that this particular educational program known as Naropa Institute will continue further and further again, completing. And I think that seems to be the basic point. And it is a somewhat emergency situation, although it is not a panicking situation as such, particularly, but it is a somewhat emergency situation that I want you to see the property. Maybe you could visit there without causing too much great deal of uproar with the neighbors, but some of organizers could tell you the location, and it's absolutely a wonderful place, actually extremely good. And His Holiness Karmapa has blessed that particular property the other day, and it rained, it rainbowed, and it thundered. And it was very auspicious, and His Holiness thought it was an excellent location, a wonderful place. So we would like to take advantage of this particular place, which is somewhat bounded by getting release from a zoning situation, because that particular property is between the county and the city, possibilities of all kinds. So I think, fundamentally speaking, it's an excellent choice of land, wonderful place, has a lot of presence altogether. But we would like to speed it up, the whole situation of fundraising at this point. I have come up with a plan, which also all of you should see. We could also put out a display for that particular plan, blueprint, which is quick building, at the same time that we could also decorate, ornament properly, so that it is not purely quick job alone situation. And we do have a relationship with that particular type of builders who could build us that particular building, which would be basically out of a concrete altogether. And there are something like 8 columns which will accommodate the basic structure. And then we have a dividing lines which makes the building is possible, and it will be good, elegant at the same time. Ideally, if we are able to do it, that particular basic structure could be hosted, organized within 2 months. So we don't stagger or labor anything. It's already possible from an architectural point of view. And interior decorations and everything other, probably within 6 months, that particular campus could be built ideally, apart from the training, planting trees and creating a lawn and the rest of the things, which will obviously take a lot of seasons to go through. And it is not a quick job, bad job, but it is using the particular way that we could build this campus with the simplest expenditures and the quickest way of using the technology that exists in this country. And on beyond that, we could also use our own talent of putting the cosmetics on the buildings altogether, so which will be sturdy and dignified. At the same time, it has been built with a certain amount of basic concrete ideas, cement concept, which we have to accept at this point. So the ideas we already thought out pretty much as ideal building should be. And somewhat the models in the European countries that they have built concrete buildings made it become almost like a medieval structure, situation like that. So the structure and the planning seem to be fine. And I want all of you to see that, and we would like to have a display of the blueprint for you. Pleasure. Maybe we could actually build a miniature for you so you can look at. And it is very important and necessary for us. There are several reasons of having our own space and fresh air outside of the city location. and also having some sense of that your own participation becomes very much crisp, and there's the facilities, ideally, what we would like to do so. So we don't have to inherit any old bad karmas of any kind, which does exist anywhere, like this building or any other buildings that we might have had. So we would like to have fresh start point, which is depends on your help at this point. So if anybody would like to see and discuss the cost and the architectural design, you're more than welcome. We will set up something for you, and so you can take part in that. And the main point is that you're taking part in that. It's very important that I want you to see what we do according to the disciplines, the vision what we have, and please share vision without any hesitation. I begin to realize that actually for the first time when I had my first child, they allowed me to walk inside the delivery room, and they put me dressed up like a doctor with the mask and the white gown, and you have to change your socks, and you have to come out like a monster there to watch your son. But walking in there and watching the whole process, it was very inspiring. And I didn't mind about my mask and everything. It was good to watch my son being born. And this is a similar situation that you are all pioneers of enlightened educational system that we're trying to develop in the Naropa Institute. Everybody, without failing, could take part in that very easily. And you are taking part in this. It's equally the same as like watching Declaration of Independence of the American United States from the English. So you can take part in this very closely. I want you to do so. We all invite you to take part in this. So please take interest in the site and plan and the financial situations, the fundraising situation. I would like all of you to invite in, to take part in this. And this is no longer a joke. It's reality. Thank you very much.